Guidance is internal. Ignition sequence starts. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Permission to board, please.
Permission to come aboard.
Permission to board.
Permission to board.
Do I have some permission to board that sweet mothership?
This is the Permission Granted podcast. Here's DA.
Just like the actual radio show, it is not DA here on the PGP, the show about the show within the show, with DA pretending to be Jim Rome this week. I'm pretending to be DA this week on the radio, on the podcast. It's Bogish. It's Side A. I assume you have found us easily and safely in all the usual places that this podcast lives, although recent memory will tell you it has been a struggle at times to find a few things as we work out some kinks over the last couple of weeks. And we spend this week without our fearless leader. So without him, it's me in the big chair, and in the slightly smaller chair to my right is the one and only Peter the Body Bellotti Jr.
I'm sorry. Sorry. I'm sorry to everybody that has to listen to me on Side A. I know your standards are very high. But I apologize. But I'll try to live up to those standards.
Well, you're being humble. I think you're deflecting. I think you know well that people want to hear more from you. The only people that have ever said, no more Pete, give me less Pete, that's too much Pete, have been the bosses here. Going back to the very beginning of this network, when you and I worked with the always chipper, excited, happy-go-lucky, carefree John Feinstein, he had you read a Pete fact of the day,
right?
And between what you picked as the fact of the day and your delivery of said fact, everybody loved it.
Except the bosses.
Except Mark Chernoff.
Eh. Well.
Less Pete, if you don't mind.
Right, right. Yeah, that's always been the case. Less me. But you know what? I'm still here.
Yeah.
I'm still here, and I'm better than ever.
Exactly. And we're glad that you are specifically here today. I will eventually begin to pry out interview process nuggets from you shortly. But let's begin with this week. I said this the last time DA was out for a 5-day stretch. It's tiring being DA. I don't know. Like, on one hand, I'm not doing that much more work to host the show than I would do to do updates, because it's a lot of the same stories, mm-hmm. the same kind of note-taking. But throwing on a clever city name or two at the top, running down the topics, thinking of a champ or a chump or whatever. I don't know, man. I'm exhausted. Like, I said this on the air Wednesday. I thought it was Thursday because it felt like we've done 3 days of work, but I'd only done two this week.
It's our show is filled with a lot of gadgets.
Yeah.
In any role. So if you're doing another role, like I'm sure Pat Boyle felt that way, moving from a producer chair or a board op chair over to the anchor chair, there's a whole lot of other things that go with each job. So for your sake, it's the hosting gig. And yeah, there's a whole lot of other plays that you have to run.
Yeah, and you know, I think part of it is just, it's not like pressure, but the responsibility of picking what we're going to talk about, in what order we're going to talk about it, then it's got to get a clever headline for Kaplan's purposes on Watch DA or whatever. That's where I think the extra work really kind of weighs on me. Like, I like hosting. I like having the chance to talk longer in general about things. I like to have I think oftentimes I have a different opinion than DA and Sean did. So I like kind of being the other voice in the conversation. But I'm very excited for Thursday night to send the last show rundown email this week,
yeah,
with topics and headlines.
It's a lot of work, and it's a system. So it's DA's system. He developed it. So it's like if you went and you were constantly running the West Coast offense, and you went to the Wildcat or a version of the Wildcat in terms of the playbook. So it's a little bit different for you.
And I think you and I are coming at this the same way. There are people that I've come across in the business before, less so here, but back at Sirius, when there was like a bullpen of us who were fill-ins for the regular hosts. There were guys who would just do their show in the time slot that they were filling in for. Mm-hmm. And that's not the way I go about it. Not that I have drastically different ideas about how to do a show. But when I'm filling in for DA, I do DA's show
right.
with my own thoughts and whatever.
That's out of respect.
Or if I'm filling in for Bill Ryder, I do Bill's show with my little personality, whatever, mixed in. So, like, that's why I think part of it, too, is doing it the way DA does it, the way he wants to be it to be done, and the way it should be done, frankly.
Well, and there's always, as you said, there's always a bit of creative license whenever you're filling in or doing any show on the station. Or any station. So it's taking the shell of the show,
right,
which is what DA has built, and making it your own. And I think you've made it your own. You've done a very good job at that. But it's, you know, it takes a while. And then you realize it's a routine that you really need to. It's like waking up in the morning to just come into work. It's coming on our hours, I'll say. It's unconventional, but once you get in a routine, you get the hang of it. And by Friday, on Friday, you'll be like, all right, I could do this more, and then it'll be over.
Yeah, and then my brain deficiencies kick in. And as you guys know more than the listeners do, I apparently don't pay enough attention along the way through however many years I've been working with DA, because I still don't know how a lot of the predetermined segments work and where I should say things or not talk or how to do this, throw to that. So I'm constantly asking you guys to walk me through these things, and Friday will get here, and Friday I probably won't ask you how to do everything because I'll remember, but then next week when I don't do it, I will forget.
Right.
So when we come back on Monday the 21st and DA's out again, I'll be back to square one on what do you mean by champ and chump?
Give me a cue.
Yeah, just point. I'm a robot. Point to me. I'll talk when you point, uh-huh. And that's it.
That's it.
Now, how more? Forget about me for a second. How are you doing? Because you've had different people sitting to your right.
Uh-huh.
You've had the interviews going on as well. It feels like this week less so than previous weeks.
Mm-hmm.
There's different things for you to do since you're the holdover guy in the studio. How are you handling this, multiple week run of all different people hanging out with us?
It's fine. You get into a point where you would prefer to have one person sitting there, a consistent person sitting there,
right,
instead of a constant rotation. But it's the summer, so I'm used to a different person, because when Sean was here,
who?
The previous producer.
Oh, Sean Morash.
Yeah, when he was here, we would have our vacations, and we would usually take them over the summer. So I got very, when I was putting together the schedule, I wanted to rotate people that we've had a part of the show in with us. And Brian Botcher is getting his first crack this week, and, mm-hmm. and you'll hear from him in Side B. But I'm trying to integrate different people each week. So next week you get a Carlos Ortiz.
Okay.
So it's a little bit, it's the way I wanted it to handle it until we found the producer. But by the end of the month, we'll have a producer. We should have a producer in place. And I would say we're at second base, heading toward third.
Okay.
On the process.
All right, we'll get back to that in a second. But more on the current situation this week, because you were very, I wouldn't say proud, but you made a point to say to me at the end of last week that you were bestowing upon Ryan the opportunity mm-hmm. to run the show as the producer for this week. And Ryan is, he's the newest kind of character on the show. Everybody knows Carlos with a K. We obviously know Boyle. We know Billy Jacquelone. But Ryan is still basically brand new. And he very quickly showed that he could handle the board for the most part. And then very quickly after that, he's now producing. So tell me why sweet, young, well-dressed Ryan seems to be your new kind of pet project.
Well, we need to get new people involved.
Mm-hmm. Because the old people stink? Is that what you're saying,
Carlos?
No, because
it's good to have a depth.
Oh, okay.
Because it has some depth.
Okay.
Especially because I am going to be going on some paternity leave coming up soon. It's good to have some people that know
how
the
many
show.
Kids did you guys have?
Word. It's good to know the people that know the show. So Ryan has done something that I've never really seen from anybody I've trained, is that he takes one day of training and can do the show right after that.
Right.
Usually it's like a 3-day training process I put someone through just to, get reps and just to see that they're doing it right. And he came in the first day we trained, and then the second day I got sick, And he told Pat Boyle, I want to take it. I got it. And did the whole show without a problem, which is, it's done. And he did the same thing with Amy Lawrence. He one day of training and right in the next day. He's very sharp, very quiet, but his personality's come out a little more. And I think he's just a good guy. He just wants to come and work, and nothing bothers him.
He's definitely impressive. There's no two ways about that. But we did wonder if you were going to hold it against him that he kind of disproved your training methodology because, as you mentioned, it's usually a multiple-day thing. We're just burning money, having guys sit next
burning
to you.
Money.
You watch for one day. The next day you run a segment. The third day you run an hour. I give you my notes, and then away you go. As you said, he came in one day. Next day, was that your eye issue?
My eye and no voice. And
right.
No voice.
So, that was the day you drove.
I drove in.
And then you turned around.
I turned around because I couldn't speak.
Okay.
Yes.
And he was going to train, so he was here. We said, I got it. And he crushed it. And we were all dumbfounded. And it seemed to cut at the significance of the job that you like to present. That's, you know, it's hard to learn. It takes some time. And it took him 4 hours to do what it takes you to do daily.
If it does, so be it. I'm glad. I'm happy. We adjusted.
Okay.
But I think Ryan is a special case. I think he just is a guy that's very good with the technology and very good in that regard. I'm still going to do 3 days of training with anybody that we bring in. I think it's very important. Some people will take onto it faster than others.
Right.
And it used to be, look, I trained, and I think I trained for more than 3 days to learn the board. It was like 5 days when I was early on at WFAN in New York. So I think it's better to err on the side of caution than to rush. So I do 3 days of training. I think 3 days is a very fair way to do it. In my process, it's watch the show the first day, do a little bit the second day, run the whole thing the third day. I think it's a fair way to do it.
Now that I think of it, I haven't trained in Update Anchor in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a couple of new ones.
Right.
Not necessarily on our show, but on the network
Dexter
and locally
Henry.
Here. Dexter Henry's new-ish.
Right.
But, you know, Jack is on the newer end of doing updates. Right. I think Manny Rodriguez has been on the air, right, already?
Right, Manuel Babari.
Right. So now, Emmanuel, like, I've helped because I know him before here and whatnot, but there was a time where, like, somebody would sit next to you.
Oh, yeah.
And watch you do the shift. And at some point, after like 15 minutes, you're like, I don't know what else to tell you. So you don't have to sit in my lap anymore. But I have that hasn't happened in a while. And I don't miss it because it's an awkward thing. It's like because I want to do my stuff. At some point, I run out of things to tell you. And then I feel like I'm babysitting you or bothering you or keeping
right.
you too long.
Well, when you run out of things to tell somebody in my mindset, it's all right. I've run out of stuff to tell you, so I want you to get reps in.
Well, and you don't know what's going to come either.
Right.
For updates, there's only so many things that happen during your shift.
Mm-hmm.
But for you, the computer could crash.
Right.
Maybe I can't go to break. A microphone dies. There's a reason to sit there for a little while and just wait for something that could be a teaching moment to pop up.
Right. It's for me, it's a lot of the person getting familiar with the surroundings, getting familiar with the settings, and just getting familiar with themselves on the show. That's how I view training. And I think it's very important to tell them as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And be err on the safe side in terms of the days.
So the bottom line is Ryan Botcher is a phenom, a wonderkind, that he is the Ellie De La Cruz of board ops and producers here.
He has a bright future.
Okay.
Which
probably means he's not going to be here for long. He'll get a TV job
soon. Which is true, yeah. He'll be our boss somewhere. He has a bright future. And we have a bunch of people in the pipeline that are very talented, and you'll probably be hearing and seeing more of them as we go along, especially into the fall, in terms of training. I think we have a bright newsroom of some new people that are coming through, and we'll be, I think we're in good shape.
And remember, the good ones are the ones Pete hired. The bad ones, he had nothing to do with
exactly.
it.
Exactly. That's
nothing
exactly
to do with those losers. Never forget that. Clearly, Pete has relaxed here. He's loosened up a little bit. So I think this is the time to shift gears and talk about the never-ending search for the new Sean Morash. You've already said that we've rounded second, heading towards third. The third base coach is gently waving everybody home. We can see the finish line. I've joked that next Labor Day of 2024, was the target end date. But it seems like, probably despite DA's wishes, we're going to get this settled in a timely fashion. So you still think sometime early September, maybe as soon as right after Labor Day, we're going to have somebody in place-ish?
Ideally, we'd like to have the person. I think the person ideally would like to be in place before that. Just so, because I'm going to be gone that week. Just so we can work, get a, you know, a little bit of a chemistry before I go away for three weeks.
There's also that.
End of August, early September, we should have a new producer for the DA show. Very impressive candidates, very impressive resumes. Nobody went in there. The one thing I can say about the whole thing, everybody brought a different skill set to the table. We had... All the candidates were great, and I'm not trying to say it's blow smoke out, but all the candidates were great. We were really impressed with everybody, and I think whatever the finalists are and whoever gets this job will be somebody that really we worked hard to pick and has worked hard for the shot.
I don't want to give away specifics that either you've told me accidentally or I've heard through the grapevine, but I will say this, and correct me if I'm wrong, add on to whatever you want. Mm-hmm. I think you had like north of 70 applicants, and there were men, women, people looking for their first job, people looking for their last job, people looking for a promotion, people who had worked had great TV jobs before here, people who didn't know what radio was or who Sean was. Like, you had the whole gamut represented.
It was very, the net was wide. I think in the end, it'll be about 120 that applied.
Wow.
I think that changes. That's just a rough estimate on my part.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked to about half of them.
Okay.
Or close to half of them. It's just rough numbers off the top of my head. But we had a lot of interest from outside and a lot of interest inside. And I really am happy with who could potentially be stepping up in the next phase and the possibilities that we have.
Would you go as far as taking a guess whether an insider or an outsider would get the job?
I think that's... I can't really do that.
Okay.
I would say that...
Dang it.
There's equal chance for either.
Okay. Let me try...
There's no... At this point, it's still very... it could go either way.
Let me ask you a different question. I think this one's easier to answer. Who embarrassed themselves the most in the interview?
Me.
Okay. Very diplomatic answer.
No one did. I can't. There's nobody that. No, there's nothing that sticks out that I was. We talked about a candidate wearing a tuxedo.
Right.
So I'm at liberty to talk about that.
Can name him. He's on the show discussing it. Ryan Hickey did that.
But he had a good logic to wearing the tuxedo.
And it looked good on him.
Yeah, the good logic was that he
so handsome.
He bought it.
Yeah.
And that goes to the saying, don't buy a tuxedo, folks. I don't care if you're planning on using it two or three times.
Do people
still
say
waste
that?
Some money. Yes.
Oh, because I bought one.
Yeah. See?
Should have told me that years ago,
well,
Pete.
Well, that's the thing. He bought a tuxedo and he only used it once.
I've only used mine once.
So he got his money's worth out of it. Yeah, no one uses their tuxedo more than once.
Yeah, I know. I had high hopes of being at award shows and weddings and nope, only wore it once. I do want to say something that's and maybe you've come across this too. It's both flattering and it surprised me the number of people who have said that, like, to me, like, you should have Sean's job, go get Sean's job, screw that person, that job should be yours. And I appreciate the compliment. But I also want to point out, like, that I've never, I don't want Sean. I don't want Sean's
job. Is that
same
for you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
And, like, so I did
it's a
want
very different.
Right, it's not a now I would sign up for sure to only work on this show.
Yeah.
In terms of our commitment, I'd love to be out of here by 10:30, 11 o'clock every day.
Look, I not gonna lie. For years, I did two shows on this network.
Yeah.
And it's hard.
Yeah.
And not, look, we're not 9 to 5 guys. We're not digging ditches. We're not in hospitals. We're not doing anything that we're not working.
Yeah.
But for our business, in terms of creative, it can get a little tiring.
Yeah.
The two shows. So I know what you're saying in terms of going to the one show. But yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. In terms of that, it'd be nice to have you on one show.
Yeah, it'd be like, and it's nothing to do with Bill Ryder or Jim Rome or WFAN. I'm lazy, and I'd be good at being lazy as Sean was by, I could have booked a guest. I could have learned how to post a podcast.
Yeah.
But walking out of here at 11 a.m. every day would be great. But I'm here for drama. I'll create some drama, but the drama is not going to be me disappointed in not getting Sean's job because I never wanted Sean's job. You didn't go for it. Instead, you are trying to hire the new Sean, and I'm just excited for whoever it is that we can mess with them and do some kind of legal acceptable hazing to get them into the group.
And for me, at least in my case, I know DA would probably prefer that I stay doing the drops and whatnot. And I like doing the creative side of the show. And I'm looking more in the management side of my career. So I'm looking more toward the office than sitting in the producer chair.
Right.
So I knew right away I had to, I made the call. I want to go help and help the process in this search.
Back to the applicants.
Mm-hmm.
How many of them, if you feel comfortable answering this one, and I'm 0-2 so far, but how many people thought the job was exactly the job Sean had? Like, do you have to tell people that it is or isn't that?
Zero.
Like, really, people didn't come in thinking they were needed to do a Sean impersonation?
No.
Okay.
Zero. A matter of fact, I feel like a lot of people made it a point to say, to try to distance from... look, I am not Sean.
Right.
And I think that's good.
In a deferential way or in a critical way of the thing Sean didn't do?
Not a critical way.
Damn it. Okay.
Not a critical way. No, it just making it, for me, I said this in interviews. For me, it's a house. We're a house. The house is already built.
Okay.
We're adding the extension onto it. What's in the extension?
All right.
So what are we going to do that's new, a part of this show? And how's this show going to grow? That's the thing I was looking for.
It's a very managerial thing to say.
Yeah, I was looking for. I'm not looking for somebody to, like we just said, I'm not looking for somebody that's going to be Sean. In my case, I'm looking for somebody that's going to grow the show into the next phase of it. You know, what's the new thing going to be? Because new can be good, and I think it's going to be good either way, or with whoever we hire. So yeah.
Last but not least, here on Side A this week, let me ask you a direct Sean question. DA has brought this up on the air. You've addressed it in a shorter fashion on the air. But our in-house text chain, which is still unfortunately littered with Sean's now look at me moments from his new job.
Right.
Whatever he shares, write-ups, videos, pictures, almost immediately gets a... shut the bleep up response from you.
Right.
Any hesitation or any regrets of being so harsh, or is it going to continue to be your MO here?
No. I have zero regrets.
Okay,
that.
Good.
Because he does it to incite.
But are you playing into his hands by cursing at him?
I am, but it makes me feel good.
Okay.
So,
all right.
So I don't need to see all his hoopla and all his antics. I'm glad for him. I'm very happy for him that he's on to his next phase of his career. But I don't need to regurgitate it into my face. So I'm on to the next show. The Band-Aid is off. I'm on to the next phase of our show.
And I don't want to jinx it. I feel like he has slowed down a little bit. So I don't know if you've actually, maybe, have you won this? Did you teach him something?
I had done anything. Maybe it's other people that are telling him to calm
maybe
down.
The buzz has stopped.
You know, maybe. Yeah.
Enough's enough.
That's right. Maybe
eight shows is plenty.
Maybe he's dealing with other things. I hope not. I wish him in all seriousness, I wish him all the best. On that,
no, you don't.
On that, that show that they have there in the afternoon, don't steal my drops.
That's
don't
right.
Take my content.
Tisk tisk. I forgot about that.
Build your own content.
Mm-hmm.
But enjoy yourself.
Don't steal my drops. We're talking to you, Connor Green.
That's right.
Don't forget where you came from, Connor.
Uh huh.
Okay. If Connor didn't have the DA show, he wouldn't be on the fan right now to steal your drops.
That's right.
Got to watch your step, Connor.
Yeah, watch out. I'm coming for you.
You're next. In Pete's crosshairs.
You're next.
Next on the PGP side B, it's still me, unfortunately. And then our new baby, our new friend, not Carrie Bellotti, not AJ Amendola, but Ryan Botcher, who's only slightly older than those two infants. here he comes on side B. All right, welcome into side B of the PGP, the show about the show within the show. As you know by now, DA is spending this week in Jim Rome's chair, so it's me, Bogish, pretending to be DA this week, which means being on side A and side B. Just talked to Pete Bellotti. Part of that conversation was about our side B guest, so to speak, the newest member of the DA family. It's Ryan Botcher, not Betcher, it's Botcher, and here he is. I don't know that you and I have actually had a non-work conversation, and here we are doing it into microphones and recording it for the whole world to hear.
I'm barely here, so I'm not surprised. Usually they stick me on weekend overnights, so that's where I...
You're here this week because the kingmaker, that is Pete the Body Bellotti, decided that you had already this quickly earned the right and the honor to hang out with us for five consecutive days. When somebody of Pete's stature lets you know of such a gift, what are the emotions going through at that time?
Well, I've known Pete now for, it's almost a year. It's like 2 weeks, I think I've known him for a year. And he doesn't speak much, so I guess it's an honor.
Yeah,
and
just to hear his voice.
Just to hear his voice.
Yeah.
Because there's some times where he just comes in, he's just like, hey. And he's like, do this. And he walks out.
Yeah.
So it's an honor to him for me. And, you know, I didn't know he thought that of me.
Well, he was very complimentary of you in side A, and he's been complimentary about you to me in conversation and to the rest of us. And for all the crap that we give Pete, he knows what he's talking about, and he takes all these things seriously. That's why we love him. So anytime he says something nice about somebody or bad, it carries a lot of weight. On Wednesday's show, he crushed Colin Cowherd. And Colin Cowherd should listen to that and should take that to heart and adjust his business accordingly, because if Pete says you're doing a bad job and you're embarrassing the industry, then you're doing a bad job and you're an embarrassment. So on the flip side, if he likes you like he likes you, you should be very proud of yourself.
Yeah, I was talking to him about the Colin Cowherd thing, too, before that. I was like, should we play the audio? Because I had it. And he was like, he doesn't deserve, like, the attention.
Yeah.
He was like, it's not good. Don't give it to him. I'm like, okay. And then we moved.
Oh, he's the best. So I always forget that you know Pete from Pete's other job.
Yeah, you guys roasted him for taking the second job.
Yeah.
And I don't blame you guys. I went to the school, was part of where he works for 3 years now, and it's not hot.
Well, aside from that, I think our objection was Pete taking the job and then complaining about the job or how it affected this job or having to leave early to go to that job or I can't do this, that. Like, so I think that was the issue, but it's just all in good fun.
It's ironic because you say he doesn't talk much, and the main job of what he's doing there is talking to old people.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets frustrated with students, too.
Yeah.
So it's hilarious to watch sometimes when he yells at me.
Yeah.
When he's like, what is this kid doing? And you have to deal with it.
Yes, Pete is one conundrum after another.
Yeah.
Things that could be avoided that he walks into, but that's why we love him. So before you fell under the tutelage of one Pete the Body Bellotti, how did you get involved in radio in the first place?
So I went into LIU for broadcasting.
Okay.
And I really had no idea what I wanted to do. I liked TV aside more than radio. And then I had a professor who Pete had as a teacher too, so he's kind of up there in age. He yelled at me, cursed at me to join the radio station. I joined it. 2 weeks later, COVID hits.
Okay.
And then it shut down for a year. I come back and they throw me into the fire of board hopping and setting up basically all of the football games, all the sports games. And I've been doing it basically ever since.
What's kind of your dream job, so to speak? What would you love to do 5, 10 years from now?
I always tell people producing for like Mets games because we're in New York here. But I'm not solidified yet. I don't know.
When you say producing, do you mean being
behind the scenes?
Oh, but like, do you want to run the board in the booth or do you want to be the guy that's like lining up schedules and...
Either or. I like doing the schedules a little bit, even though it's frustrating.
That's why
people,
Pete likes you.
When people don't like text you back or call you back or email you back, it's very annoying. That or doing the sound. I like sound.
Now, I don't know what everybody's doing when they're ignoring your text, but I had a trick and I don't know how successful it was, but if I got a text when I was a part-timer and I was begging for shifts, but if I got offered a shift that I couldn't do or didn't want to do, maybe it was a bad time of day, maybe I had a conflict, I would wait to respond, hoping that by the time I responded, they had asked somebody else and that person had said yes, and then therefore I wasn't really saying no, but then maybe it was held against me that I didn't respond fast enough. But that was always my play. Instead of going, oh, no, I can't do it, waiting, and go, oh, I just saw this. Sorry. Do you still need somebody?
It's crazy because I had, like, a class where there was, like, the teacher, he was, like, a marketer. He's like, everybody sees every message within 15 minutes, unless you're, like, super famous and you have your DMs closed. So everyone sees everything in 15 minutes. It's whether they want to respond or not. So the people who I text and they don't answer me, and it's been 3 days now or 2 days now, it's kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, and I'm pretty bad at, I'll see a text, can't respond right away, or I get easily distracted
and then
forget to go back to it.
That's reasonable.
So that's an honest mistake, but I make it way too much. And if it's true that everyone sees messages within 15 minutes and then they choose whether or not to respond, I would prefer those of you who DM us or message us and then wonder why we don't respond or like it.
DMs are different.
I still miss things. Don't listen to Ryan. His science is off.
DMs are different, though, because it's like sometimes you have notifications off and there's so many of them that you don't see them. But like text messages and calls, you definitely see.
I wish there were too many of them. I wish that was my problem. I could say, oh, there's just so many and my inbox is overwhelmed that I got lost in the shuffle. I wish that was my problem. But sometimes I'm just lazy. Sometimes I guess I'm mean.
You didn't get bothered by the notification number?
So I have slowly dropped or increased, I guess, my tolerance for that. Like, I can now go a couple of days without really cleaning out my email inbox. So I can get to, like, now I'll look at them. So I'll see if anything's important, get to those. But I won't erase the crap right away. So it can go a couple of days, and all of a sudden I have like 500 unread.
Oh, I'm the same way.
And then I gotta go. But the people that have like tens of thousands, they suck.
Well, okay, I think I'm sitting at 3,000 right now in the Gmail.
All right, so I mean you're close to it, but you're not there yet.
It's just there's so many, like, you sign up for one website.
I know,
and you get spammed, and you don't check it every day, and it just adds up, and you don't, like, you get hit one button and clear all the notifications anyway.
True. And Gmail does kind of filter things better than others.
Yeah.
But like, and I'm old enough that I still have my AOL address that I'm afraid to change, that somebody who I interacted with 17 years ago might need me one day and they have that email address and not my new Gmail one. So AOL still can get overwhelming. But somebody the other day was like boasting that they have like 35,000 unread. And that's just a crappy decision by me, them. You gotta clean that out at some point.
Who boasts that? That's like hoarding, but for emails.
It was somebody like on TV or radio, like it was a, I'm trying to think now who it was. Oh, I remember who it was. It was Kay Adams. On her show, they were asking people trivia questions about the show. And one of them was like, how many unread emails does Kay have? And it was like 35,000. And Kay's important. Kay's popular. I get that. But that's just like, I couldn't live like that. And like, that would drive me nuts. Whereas I'd be embarrassed to tell people that it's that many as opposed to making it a trivia question on my TV show.
It's if you get attention, you get attention. So
I guess. Maybe I'm just like jealous that I don't have 35,000 emails, period, let alone one.
Just sign up for a couple, you know, so a couple websites and you'll get them.
What else do we need to know about Ryan Botcher? Where are you from?
Middle Village, Queens.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I'm from Glendale, Queens. I grew up like 10 minutes from you.
Are you by the on the other side of the cemetery or?
I prefer that I'm on the good side, the side that's closer to like Forest Hills and Rego Park.
Oh,
but
okay, so you're by me.
Well, yeah.
Are you by the underpass, by Cooper?
Kind of. So that's like the end of where my like neighborhood friends lived growing up. Mm. I live closer to, well, we're going real deep here, Woodhaven Boulevard and Metropolitan Avenue.
Oh, okay. You're on that side.
Yes.
So we're not that far.
No, not at all. Did you go to St. Margaret's? Or
No. I went to private Lutheran school, now closed.
Okay.
And
where'd you go to high school?
Molloy. Archbishop Molloy.
All right. See, I would have went to Molloy. That was my other main choice. See, you know what?
Where'd you go?
Pete might have claimed you already, but maybe this Queens thing is going to override that. And I can give you a tip or two here and walk you through the maze of CBS Sports Radio.
Mm. But where did you go to high school then?
I went to Regis in Manhattan.
Oh, fancy.
That was my, so Molloy would have been, if I didn't get lucky and get in there, Molloy is where I would have been. And we would have been even closer. So you would have come to me before Pete. You would have known me through the Molloy Alumni Network.
Yeah. That's never.
So you went there when it was already co-ed, right?
Oh, 100%.
If you're listening,
it was co-ed in 03.
I know, which I can't process. If you're listening, and we are way off the beaten path right now, but Molloy is, from a sports perspective, the high school that produced Kenny Smith, Kenny Anderson, Jack Curran is one of the most well-known, famous, successful high school basketball coaches in the history of the game. And for the longest time, there was an all-boys school. Now, a lot of private Catholic schools have gone co-ed to increase enrollment and whatnot. And it blows my mind that Molloy and other schools by us in New York City have everybody there. And it's not new, but it's still always new and shocking to me.
It always surprises me that I had two NBA players in around my class. And
so you had what, Moses Brown?
Moses Brown and Cole Anthony. Cole Anthony transferred 3 years after. That was a mess, but we ignore that.
All right, so that's Ryan Botcher. And if Pete Bilotti has anything to say about this, when Pete can actually move into full manager mode, I think he'd be very ecstatic to hand over the reins to Ryan. But that's down the road. For now, Ryan, you've been amazing. So thank you for showing up and making Pete happy and chipping in. It's been a fun week, and we still have two more shows to do this week, and I'm sure we'll see a lot of you down the road because, as you know, we're almost never here together as a group, so there's going to be plenty of fill-in opportunities coming up, I bet.
Hopefully nothing crashes and burns.
You never know. But if it does, you're prepared because P told you what to do, I think. Maybe.
Mostly. Hopefully.
And if you're anything like P, you'll just run away from those problems. That's what he does. He just leaves. Smart play. As always, you can find the PGP in all the usual places. And as always, we remind you to listen to the actual radio show, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on CBS Sports Radio, the free Odyssey app. You know all the spots. And if you're listening within this week, don't forget to check out DA on the Jim Rome Show at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific on CBS Sports Radio as well. Until next week, for Botcher, for Bilotti, for Boyle, a Schwartz, maybe I was going to say a Brad Heller because that doesn't make sense anymore. Everybody that's hung out with us the last couple of weeks has been super fun. We thank all of them for their time. And as always, we thank you for listening. For now, the PGP disconnects.